Let's pray.
Father, we do come before you this morning, thanking you for this season. Lord, we thank you for the preparation for the celebration that we see around us. And Lord, we even see people that don't quite understand the details of the celebration, even getting ready. So yes, Lord, like David said, it is a good time to speak to people that you want us to speak to and speak clearly and speak directly about Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray this morning that even as we have gathered here as a church, I pray that you would help us to look at our own hearts and to just take a break from looking at everything else and all that's around us and truly look at those words that we have even just sung of prepare you room. I pray that you'll help us to understand that. I pray that you would just deal with us in a way that we're not expecting today. Lord, there is no doubt in my mind that you always know what you're doing. You're always in control. You have the message for us to hear. Lord, you knew everything that was going to happen this week. You knew timing. You knew our attitudes. You know everything. And so, Father, I pray that now as we have come to this place that you would speak what you have prepared for us to hear. Lord, we thank you for the scripture. We thank you that even as we open the Bible now that there can be commentary, there can be opinion, there can be expounding upon what we see in the Bible, but as we read your word, that's absolute. And we know that you have prepared that for us and you have preserved it for us. So Lord, I pray that we'll pay special attention to exactly what the words say and try to hear them in a way that you want us to hear today. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, you be seated. And we are going to look at, of course, a portion of Scripture this morning that is very familiar. And I'm glad the kids are in here because I think even the kids can understand and get what we're talking about this morning. I want to talk about missing Christmas. Missing Christmas. Now, I'm not talking about skipping Christmas. I'm not talking about the book. I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about missing Christmas, not skipping it, missing it. And I think back to my life growing up. I don't have to think back too far. I think of who I am. There's always an anticipation that's in me. I don't like to be late. I'm not normally late. When I was a kid, kids, maybe you can identify with this. When it got time to go to grandparents or whose ever house on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, that's the way we used to do it at our home. We would go to one set of grandparents on Christmas Eve and one set of grandparents on Christmas Day. And I was just obnoxious in not wanting to get there late. And I would stop and give you a chance to guess why I didn't want to get there late. And you might think because I'm standing up here preaching that there's some religious answer in that. Nah, it really wasn't, kids. I was afraid they would open presents before I got there. It's like, you know, I do not want to be late because I do not want to get there and somebody has stolen my present. I mean, some other kid might be there. My cousin might decide he wants that present that I've got. And so there was always that thing of missing Christmas, I guess. Some of you adults can better identify with this. I don't like to be late. And especially with us who are sitting in New Zealand, we tend to fly a lot. And so when it comes time to go to the airport, I do not like to be late. I want to be there on time. I want to be there so I can relax. And even then, sometimes, I am afraid I'm going to miss the flight. There's only been a few times that Lisa and I have been, I don't think my family, but yeah, Lisa and I both have been able to fly business. And that's pretty nice because they let you go into the lounge. And so you get to have food and you get to kick back and you say, they say, just relax. Well, I can't relax because I'm sitting there waiting for, okay, but if we get too relaxed, then the plane's going to leave. So there's always that part of me that's always anxious. It's always, I just don't want to miss what I'm supposed to be getting. I think that goes across the whole of life. Probably on my deathbed, I'll be anxious about missing something. I don't know if you can miss that or not, but maybe I won't be in the right place or in the right position, or I don't know. You know, I'm sure there was something I'll be worried about as far as missing it. So looking at Luke chapter 2 this morning, I want to talk about missing Christmas, and that probably rings a bell, especially after we've just sung it and mentioned it. Really, what does it even mean when we open the word and it says that there was no room at the inn, or there was no room available? The NIV says there was no guest room available. That kind of brings it a little bit out of what we're used to hearing. But seriously, I mean, we hear this and we've heard it season after season after season. The older you are, the more times you've heard it, even if you have not been a Christian but for 10 years, you always heard at this time of the year, there's no room at the inn, there's no room available. And so we look at this, and I think it's a good place for us to say, yes, we've read Luke chapter 2 over and over and over and over. We've even heard Charlie Brown read Luke for us over and over. But what does it really mean when it says, okay, there is no room for Jesus? No room for Jesus. I mean, that really, let me say this. You have really messed up if you say there's no room for Jesus. I mean, you can say there's no room for a lot of things. But if you in your life have said, you know what, I don't have any room for Jesus, you have right to be worried. There is something that might be wrong if you literally have thought that I don't have room for Jesus. That's almost dangerous. That sounds freaky for me to even say. But as we think about it, what does the general phrase mean? There's no place. There's no room for you. It literally means you can't be in our people. We don't have a place for you in our group. We that get along, we that are in a tribe, we are that are in a family, we don't have a place that we feel that you fit. Our society. I think we can see it clearly if we think about our society, our world. Is there room for Jesus in our world? Well, it's easy for us to say, sure, there's room for Jesus in our world. But the way that we are to accept him and the place that he's supposed to serve in our society, is there really room for him in our society? Now, it can arguably be said that Christmas is the most special of all mornings. Of course, we as Christians could debate back and forth what's better, the sunrise on Christmas, on Easter, or Christmas Day. And so those are arguably equal. But for the world, and the way that the world celebrates Christmas, and we fuss at the world sometimes. We say you've commercialized it too much. You buy too much. You spend too much. You charge too much. We have all those things, which is really something we should learn, because most people around us, they see us as negative anyway. So if we could just hold back on as much negativity as we can, especially when it comes Christmas time, let them charge. Let them buy. Let them spend. But I say, like David says, just get the word in there somewhere. They're going to charge, they're going to spend, they're going to buy, they're going to do what they're going to do. But that's our perfect place to get the basic message of Jesus Christ into somebody's mind. Christmas morning I think when we're small, I think when we're growing up, Christmas morning is so special because we get the presents. I mean, yeah. I don't think there's a child in here that's not excited about going to grandma's or going to grandpa's or going to somebody's house. If you're here and your grandma and grandpa are over across the ocean somewhere and you've adopted somebody, I don't care. It's going to somebody's house to get the gifts. That's what we're talking about. But as we grow older, it seems that it should. It seems that the giving becomes more important than the getting. And we get more thrill out of giving people things than getting things. And sometimes even when people give us something, we say, well, thank you very much. But we're really more excited about what we have to give somebody. And so it is good that we think about Christmas in that kind of way. The biggest joy, though, of Christmas, I honestly believe, is belonging. I think the biggest joy in Christmas is when we get together with whoever we're going to get together with and we do what we're going to do together. It's that feeling of being loved. It's that feeling of being a part of something, belonging to something. Imagine how a person must feel when they hear or they know, I'm not really wanted. Lisa and I have I don't know, it's really not a healthy habit we've formed in watching YouTube videos instead of a lot of regular TV. And Lise got on something the other day, and it was really about the Appalachian Mountains. And I don't want to get all into that, but it's very poor people, barely anything to eat. And so we have watched a few of those over the last week or so, and it really breaks your heart that there are people that are in our world today, in America, in New Zealand. There are people right now who feel like they are the only ones in their group. They are lonely. They are by themselves. And yet here we are going to celebrate this wonderful season where Jesus is given to us by God to take care of all of every problem that we have, including our eternity. And there are still people that are out there that we haven't identified yet that are just, they have nobody. They're lonely. They have zero people. They can't call mom or a sister or a brother or a child or a spouse. There's nobody. And for that not to break our hearts as God has given us hearts for people is unimaginable. So this morning I want to look back at that first morning with Jesus, because there was a basic rejection, and we know all about it. But that basic, there is no room for him in the inn, mirrored just a basic rejection for the whole world, for all times, for every time. Because I think it is amazing how we come to this season and there are so many people that we haven't talked to that by default say, yeah, I don't really have room for Jesus. Where if they had some explanation, if they had somebody to come and tell them, this is what God has done through Jesus Christ. This is who Jesus is. He's not just some teacher that was here in the first century. This is what Jesus has done for you. It would change their minds, and they would look at it in a different way. So it was a glorious morning, that morning that we're talking about in the Bible here in second chapter of Luke. Glorious morning for some, but as we know this story, it was the most ordinary day for most. It was just another day. No, it seemed like what we do is we go into this story, and what just glares at us is that everybody was going about their business. Everybody was only worried about themselves, not the shepherds. The shepherds caught it. Even their night, the shepherds had been strange. They had been visited by an angel, which we don't see happen every night. Now, I don't, it's according to what you eat or what you do, or I don't know what you do with your day, but if you tell me, no, I visit with an angel every night, I really want to hear more about this. It is a strange occurrence when we are in the middle of our getting ready to go to sleep, And I'm sure even at this, the shepherds were out and they were very tired, very sleepy. They would do what most of us would do in the middle of the darkness. They were resting, but yet they were visited by angels and they were even spoken to by angels. And then they were given the privilege of being honored to see this Christ child. So it was a strange night for these people that never asked for it. All they were doing was taking care of business. They were taking care of what they knew they needed to take care of, and that was a herd of sheep. For most people, everyone was having a normal day. They had no clue what was happening, except for these people in the stable that night before the Lord came. So let's look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And like usual, I stressed it out a little bit because once you start reading, you have to read the next verses and then you have to read the next verses. So I'm going to read verses 6 through 19 because it catches it and it puts it more into perspective. Starting with verse 6, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. There was no room in the inn. There was nothing available for Jesus. There was no room available. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified, as we would normally be. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Okay? "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared, and the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough, in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning, there you go, David. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed. Go back to last week's message. They were amazed at what the shepherds said to them, but Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. What seems so very, very much offensive to us is that we were ever strangely ignorant enough to miss his coming. Can I use the word stupid here? I mean, without that being a bad word. I mean, if you miss... if you're standing somewhere and this great happening happens, that's really bad. Maybe I won't use that word again, but it's really bad. It's really offensive to us to know that there was ever any people that were given the privilege of living at the time that Jesus Christ was born and they missed it. I don't think I would have missed it if I had been there. Well, surely, because we know the story and we've talked about the story for years and for centuries and centuries. But these people, I guess we have to give them a break, but it's hard to give them a break because it seems ludicrous that God entered into our world, into our dimension, and we didn't get it. God literally came down for us and was there for us, and we didn't get it. You know what I'm saying. You know where I'm going. It happens right now. It is such a shame that we don't know how to get this word out to people, that we have people that are all around us that are doing the same thing. They are not getting the fact that God Himself has given us Jesus Christ for us to be able to latch hold, to take hold of, to own, to let it be ours, eternal life. John chapter 3 verse 19, we know it well. It says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Jesus was actually laid into a feeding trough. Now, as much as I have lived, and especially in ministry as an adult, I have in my mind every Christmas season tried my best to clean up that trough. In my mind, I have tried, Lord, not a feeding trough, not what I've seen on movies of people feeding animals. Lord, not at Sue's house, not a feeding trough, not at some of these farmers' places where I see this slop and junk put in for animals to eat. No, not Jesus. Jesus wasn't born in something that would happen in, was he? And of course we know that he was, because God wanted it that way. There were shepherds around him with livestock. That's weird. Not your ideal birth situation. We have a tendency to gather with our best friends. If you have family here, you gather with your family and your best friends. If you don't have family here, you're already preparing and planning for gathering together with the closest people to you. Here, it was strange because there was not any family. There was not any friends. It seemed weird. It was just people that just happened to show up for Mary and Joseph, for them. It must have been, who are these people that keep coming? Who are these people that are gathering around? And we look at it and we have to understand that God was the one that sent out the invitations. God was the one that knew who was going to be there on that day. He did, didn't he? Of course he did. If God knows everything about me and he knows everything about you, then of course in the birth of Christ to the world, it was done in perfection. And as we try to look at this and say, wow, you know, I really wouldn't have done it like this. I really would have done it a little bit of a different way, God. God knew exactly what he wanted to do. And he wanted these witnesses to be the witnesses that were around that manger. A motley crew of people, no less. A strange group of people. But that wasn't even the worst thing about the scene. The worst thing is why this Savior of ours was even in the stable in the first place. Why did he enter into, or why did his mother and Joseph, why did they enter into this town, and this town didn't give deference to the fact that some people had said that this might be a strange thing going on. Some people have said that there's a weird thing going on with this girl and with this man. And so the major thing that's wrong here is, why did somebody not get out of the way and allow there to be room? Well, that wouldn't fit quite right, would it? If we were in 2020, oh, the wonderful year it's been. If we were in 2020 singing about, there was no room for him except that one person that moved over and gave him, I mean, that wouldn't work like that, would it? I mean, God really wanted it to be, and there was no room. Nobody at all. He, the Almighty God, came. I think we could even argue that maybe he shouldn't have even come in the first place. Why did God want anything to do with us? Why did God want to save us? But praise the Lord, hallelujah, to the highest. It was his choice. It was his love. But even at that, most everybody missed it. God could have said the word, and the word could have been, look, I want to get the executive suite for this family. I want a security detail put on this family. But he didn't. He wanted it this way for us to see who we are. Let me say something to all of us, whether you're the oldest person in here or the youngest person in here. And if you're the youngest person in here, this might help you out a little bit, kids. A lot of times, those that are in charge, those that are have been given responsibility for you, those that have been given the teaching responsibility over us, a lot of times God wants us just to know who we are and what's in our heart. So a lot of times, you're talking to you kids for a second, a lot of times your mom or your dad might say to you, well, Junior or Sissy, don't you want to give this toy to this kid that doesn't have anything? It's not that they want you to give your toys away. It's that they want to see your reaction. And a lot of times our reaction is, you know, it is sad that that other child has no toys. So a lot of us says, you know what, I've got so many toys at home. Yes, I want to give that person one of my toys. And so it is with us. God wants us sometimes just to see who we are. A lot of times we look at things that are going on with us. We look at things that are happening with us. We look at things that we are angry about. We look at things that we don't like. And most of the time, I would say, God has certain things happening in our life to show us who we are. Sometimes, many times, God needs just to show us our own heart, the real us. Luke tells us exactly why Jesus was born in a stable in chapter 2. He says Jesus was born in a stable because there was no room for him. Point blank, that was it. We're not told who turned him away. We're not told how many people turned him away. But it sort of concluded that everybody that had an option turned him away because there was no room. So God just let Jesus be born in a stable, and he let us turn him away. He let it be recorded that we turned him away. And so what the lesson is this. You're here this morning. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, isn't it time this season to say yes to him instead of there's no room for him? Because we've always said there's no room for him. You know, before I accepted Jesus Christ, what I had said up to that point, I really don't have any room. You know, I've heard about Jesus. I know about Jesus. I know about religion. I know about all that. And I just really don't have a place in my teenage life for that right now. Some of you grew to be young adults. I don't really have a place to put that right now. And some of you weren't saved until you were older adults. And you can give us a testimony that's really rich because you kept saying, there's no room here, there's no room here, there's no room here. Finally, one day, you made room for Jesus Christ. Jesus came to have fellowship with us. And we have constantly, always rejected that fellowship. He comes to us time after time, again after again, again and again, and we don't have the room for him. We look at the Bible, we see in the Old Testament, the people of Israel who had been in bondage in Israel, they rejected him, and they rejected him because of this. If they couldn't be God, they didn't want a God. That's bad to say, but there are people that are with us. There are people that we know that if they can't be God, they don't want a God. I would say that there are actually people that darken the doors of the church, that they'll go into the church and they'll become a part of the church, and they don't even want a God if they can't be God. In other words, if I can't tell God what to do, I don't want a part of it. There are people in our churches that are there. If I can't tell God and I can't guide God and I can't tell him what's the most important things, I don't want to really be a part of it. Even today, people would rather not have God if they can't be God. Like rebellious children, they absolutely refuse to truly learn. Second Timothy chapter 3 verse 7, another verse that we know very well, talks about these people that were always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. It was the most unlikely people that recognized Jesus on this night. The common, worldly, mundane shepherd who really didn't know how to act. You put a shepherd in, like we were talking about, you put a shepherd in the temple, they didn't know how to act in the temple. That's why I say a lot of times, and I guess it's been a little while since I've said it here, we need to have people come into our church that really don't know how to act in here. I mean, we really need to invite people to where we sit beside them and we say, no, we're going to stand up again. You know how we do the stand up and sitting down? Yeah, we need to bring people in that will roll their eyes and say, man, y'all stand up and sit down a lot, don't you? We need to bring people in that have never been in this kind of atmosphere before, because those are the people that have really never heard a concise, clear, simple stating of who Jesus is. The shepherds responded immediately. People just didn't feel like that God would appear before a shepherd. But the shepherds responded immediately. So if you give me that slide with the 4 points on it. The first thing that the shepherds did was immediately, without deliberation, they decided to follow him. That's simple. I mean, these are simple steps. These are simple things that the shepherds did. But if we just will put our head around this, immediately, without deliberation, without having to go and do 17 things. They were there. They were watching their sheep. And when the angel came before them, immediately, without doing anything, they decided, you know what? I think it's a good idea for us to follow the angel. I think sometimes people have been visited by the Holy Spirit, and they have left that place. And I'm not talking about just a church. I'm talking about just that place that they're in. The Holy Spirit has taught, let's just make up a name here, Carl. The Holy Spirit has had Carl at a place and has spoken to Carl. And Carl, I want you to consider Jesus Christ. And for some reason, they just don't do anything with it. We should be attentive to see if there is a Holy Spirit dealing with us about anything. The second thing is, there was an extreme sense of urgency among them. It wasn't this is kind of a nonchalant thing I'm going to do. I'll kind of get it straight when I get home. No, they had a sense of urgency. God has sent the Savior child. The angel has told us about the Savior child. And so it's probably pretty urgent that we get there. The third thing is, they wasted no time. They found the baby just like the angel said. It was true. So what we're talking about this morning, you might find a lot of things wrong with me, but there's nothing wrong with this. It is true. So whatever I am misstating, whatever I'm getting out of proportion, what is in this Bible is just like what is expected. Just like the angel said, the baby was there and they found the baby. And so the fourth thing is, they spread the message and they caused a stir among the people. That's what we've been talking about for the last few weeks. Are we really spreading the message and causing a stir among people? Religious people today are just like they were back then. People think that there's a prescribed way to worship. We're supposed to do this and we're not to do that. The only thing that I find in the scripture that Jesus really critiqued was anyone worshiping with a false humility or with an arrogance like the Pharisees. The safety net here, I believe, for all of us is just be careful how we critique how others worship. Because if we respond, we all respond differently. That's why when we offer a time for us to do whatever, whether somebody wants to give a testimony or come and pray or run around the room or whatever it is, if we respond to the Holy Spirit, because we're different people, we respond differently. So let's bring this thing home. Surely we would never reject Jesus. The only one who would and could bear the penalty for our sins. Yes, they did, and yes, we can. People are still rejecting him even this morning. This morning in New Zealand, there are people that are sitting, listening to messages about the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, and they will get up and they will walk away. And though, even though they don't say it audibly, they say it within their heart, I'll do this a different time. I just don't really have room right now. I don't have space for this right now. And so every one of us has to get to a point to where we evaluate and we consider, how much room do we have? How much room do we have for Him today? And even those of us who are Christians, maybe we've stopped giving Him the room that is His. And we need to seriously go back and say, Lord, I have brought back in some of what I have given you, and it's time for me to give it back to you. Today, Christ can be an afterthought to Christmas. We still have to remind the world to keep Christ in Christmas. We still have to make banners, keep Christ in Christmas. How strange is that? It seems that we would all get Christmas has something to do with Christ. So it should be a time where we gather around somebody that knows something about Christ and we make a decision about Him. People don't always have room. He doesn't fit in their way. Church people can be the same way. If we don't have room for Him because He doesn't fit the way that we want to do things, we can edge the Holy Spirit. We can edge God out of what we're doing. God has given us Jesus to redeem us. Now let me restate that. God has given you Jesus to redeem you. And He has given you the Holy Spirit to lead you. And I guess what He wants us to get out of this story is there room in our life for that? Is there room in our life for Jesus Christ to save us? I hope so. I hope that there's not a person in here that will leave this morning saying, whether verbally or non-verbally, and I think I'll just wait. Because that is saying, I don't have room for Jesus right now. Make some room. Don't leave this place until you can scratch out some room for Jesus. And then all of us who proclaim to be Christians, and we have this variable of how much strength and how much courage we have. Well, are we having the room for the Holy Spirit to work within us? Are we having the room for the Holy Spirit to deal with us? Are we really still open to God? Are we still open to Christ? Are we still open to the Holy Spirit to work within us and do what He needs to do? It would be all of our prayers for each other that we would have the room that God wants from us. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for this season, this time of what should be celebration in our hearts, what should be us going through the list of how much time we give You and how much space we give You and how much room we have for You in our lives. Instead of thinking about us and how we can satisfy ourselves and can we comfort ourselves more, we all know, Lord, that the thing that we should be thinking about and the thing that we should be wanting is more room for You. So I pray that You would help us to know how to do that exactly. Because honestly within us, and I hope that we're saying this truthfully because You know more than we know, we want to have that desire within us. So Lord, if we're lying to ourselves, if we're not saying the truth to ourselves, we pray that You would help us, even right now, to just move stuff out of the way that we want to give You more space for what You want. We love You. We thank You. We praise You for all that You are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.